of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write, days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white.
Oh, we are sure going to get a white Christmas this year, aren't we? Boy, is it blowing and snowing. Just in time for Christmas, isn't it? Well, hello, boys and girls, and we have made it to the final night of Christmas Reading with Rick. And it is a very special night tonight. I'm so happy that this day got here because we have some special reading guests. I kind of get to sit back and listen tonight because the first part of the show is dedicated and stars the fifth grade class at Holy Trinity School in Piers. Mrs. Prisbilla's class, or Mrs. P's class, is going to read to us not one, not two, but three stories that they've been practicing and they recorded, and they are all ready to go. And at the end of each story, they say their name, so you'll be able to tell who was all reading and bringing you these Christmas stories. Let's see, they've got, well, the great story of Frosty the Snowman, and then they do another story called Mooseltoe, and they will finish with the Polar Express. So those are the three stories that we'll hear from the fifth graders at Holy Trinity in Piers. I'm so excited for that. And then after they are done, our final story of the Christmas Reading with Rick series will be the Christmas story about the birth of the baby Jesus. So you'll be wanna sure to stay around for that one. That's a good story to end on, as this is basically Christmas Eve Eve, isn't it? Tomorrow is Christmas Eve, and then Christmas Day. Boy, you can almost count the hours on one hand. I bet you're all getting so excited. I'm excited, too, and I'm especially excited to hear from the fifth graders at Holy Trinity in Piers. Thanks so much, all of you, for sharing your reading talents with us. And, boy, what a special, special night this is on Reading with Rick to have you join me and be the stars here of Reading with Rick's Christmas Time edition. So without further ado, let's listen to Mrs. P's fifth grade class. Now, there'll be about a 5 or 2 second little pause between each story. So we're just going to, I lined all three of them up right in a row. First is going to be Frosty the Snowman, then Mooseltoe, and the last one will be the Polar Express. And this will take, it's going to take about 18 or 19 minutes, all three of them combined. So that'll give you a little idea. By about 7 o'clock, we'll be done with the fifth graders. But, boy, this is going to be a fun 20 minutes or so. So let's listen. Here are the fifth graders from Holy Trinity.
Frosty the Snowman by Steve Nelson and Jack Rollins. Read by Mrs. P's fifth grade.
Frosty the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul, with a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal.
Frosty the Snowman is a fairy tale, they say. He was made of snow, but the children know how he came to life one day.
There must have been some magic in that old silk hat they found.
For when they placed it in on his head,
he began to dance around.
Oh, Frosty the Snowman was alive as he could be, and the children said he could play and he could laugh and play just as the same you and me.
Frosty the Snowman knew the sun was hot that day.
So he said, let's run and we'll have some fun now before I melt away.
Down to the village with a broomstick in his hand, running here and there all around the square, saying, catch me if you can.
He led them down the streets of town right to the traffic cop, and he only paused a moment when he heard him holler,
stop!
For Frosty the Snowman had to hurry on his way, but he waved goodbye, saying, don't you cry, I'll be back again someday.
Thumpity thump thump, thumpity thump thump, look at Frosty go. Thumpity thump thump, thumpity thump thump, over the hills of snow.
Robin Hoisel,
Kaden Ratke,
Ava Gall,
Owen Stengel,
Caitlin Kruschek,
Preston Sayre,
Peter Waitella,
Jordan Marshick,
Abby Post,
Logan Jansen,
Ashton Pop.
Mistletoe by Margie Palatini, read by Mrs. P's fifth grade.
'Twas the season, and Moose was merry. He joyfully tickled the ivories with a tuneful and tidings and a flurry of a fa-la-la. He was so full of ho-ho-hos, even his mustache had the holiday spirit.
But Moose was more than just a bit merry and bright. He was busy, busy, busy. There was a lot to be done on his list of to-dos. But with orderly organization, a bit of regimentation, lots of an imagination, and just plain old Moose know how getting ready for the big day should have been simple. Easy, yes. In the probability, just perfect, perfect.
He wasted not one merry minute. Moose got moving and put some hustle into the holiday bustle. He went to work. He wrote cards and letters until his hooves hurt. Check.
He chopped till he dropped. Check.
He hauled home boxes and bags and presents galore. Moose had gifts for everyone, stacked from ceiling to floor. Check, check, check. Then he rapped, yo, yo, yo. And he ribboned, ho, ho, ho. And on each and every package, he tied a big, beautiful bow. Check and double check. So far, so simply, so easy, so perfectly perfect.
Another look at the list, and Moose headed for the kitchen. He pulled out pots, pans, and bowls, sifted through stacks and racks of cookbooks. He whisked with his left, spooned with his right.
Moose baked tons of tins of cookies, check. Dozens of cakes, breads, and sweets, check, check, check. He made jellies, sticky jams. Moose roasted a goose and some chestnuts. He toasted marshmallows and yams, check, check. Check, triple check. Yes, yes, so simple, so easy, and yet, and but, of course, so perfectly perfect.
Decorations were up next on his list of things to do and get done. So Moose decked the halls, then spruced up the walls. He beaded, bowed, and mistletoed. He gathered garlands, ropes, wreaths, and holly jingled bells.
sang a Noel's old good and jolly. This moose was jolly. Check, 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 check.
Last but not least, he hung all the stockings, each and every one, with a special care, and just in time, too. Soon Santa would be there.
Check and final check. Yes, sir. He getting ready for Christmas was an absolute snap and so simple, so easy, and if he did so say so himself, Moose thought so utterly complete, perfectly perfect.
On the night before Christmas, Mother, Little Sissy, Bucky, and Junior looked all through the house. What a job Moose had done. Everything looked bountiful, festive, quite fine indeed. There was just one minor problem, if you will. Oh dear, sighed the missus as the five stared at one empty corner. Oh my, oh me, oh gee. Pop, what happened? Cried Junior. You forgot the tree.
Oops, where would they hang the tinsel, string the popcorn, light the lights? Where would Santa leave his gifts for the kiddies on Christmas Eve night? So Moose pulled on his galoshes and put on his hat. He would find a tree somewhere, somehow, and that's all there was to that. So out went Moose, bravely blustery, blowing winds and the cold, trudging through snowdrifts, courageous and bold.
Moose first hoofed it down to the corner, not a tree to be had. Then he slid around the block. Uh-oh, things were looking bad. He went down every boulevard, street, and little road. He looked down lanes and alleys. Every tree had been sold. There was not a branch, not a twig, not even one lousy bolus bough hanging around. Nope, nada, nothing. Not a tree to be found.
No tree, sighed a sad moose as he came home empty-handed that snowy eve.
The kids tried to make the best of it. They said, oh, so who needs a tree? But Moose could plainly see they were short on the glee. He knew he had to do something, and that's just what he did. In the empty corner, he stood and spread his arms out very wide. Then he smiled at his children, and he winked at his bride. Kids, he declared, fetch your forgetful pop some of that tried and true family glop.
So back came the kids, carrying a big pot of glue, and without a word to one another, they knew just what to do. They each took a part, grabbing strands, taking hold. Then carefully, oh so carefully, they glopped and they plopped, they pasted and they pressed.
They curled, twirled, every which way a frolic could fathom, until Moose's magnificent mustache was indeed even more marvel to see.
Moose was just a few needles shy of being an evergreen tree. They strung Moose with lights from his head to his toes and dropped him with tinsel. Beginning right with his nose, they hung balls that were shiny, and bells that twinkled, candy canes, berries, and plums, sugar sprinkled. Then they all stood back. Junior plugged his pop. Yes, Moose truly was one incredible sight. He was glorious and glowing, and boy, oh boy, was he ever bright.
Then Junior placed the star on top of Moose's head. He gave him a kiss and a pat, and they all headed off to bed, except Moose, of course. He stayed in the corner instead, still twinkling and blinking and waiting for Santa. Oh, said
so it wasn't so simple, and it wasn't so easy. And okay, it wasn't so perfectly perfect, but you know what?
It was pretty close. Ho, ho, ho.
Abby Posh.
Quinn Gruber.
Kaden Ratke.
Preston Sayre.
Jordan Marshick.
Jaden Sajak.
Logan Jansen.
Owen Stengel.
Ashton Pop.
Peter Watala.
Kaitlyn Krushek.
The Polar Express by Chris Van Allsburg, read by Mrs. P's fifth grade.
On Christmas Eve, many years ago, I lay quietly in my bed. I did not rustle the sheets. I breathed slowly and silently. I was listening for a sound a friend told me I'd never hear, the ringing sleigh bells of Santa. There is no Santa, my friend had insisted, but I knew he was wrong. Late that night, I did hear sounds, but not the ringing of bells. From outside came the sounds of hissing steam and squeaking metal. I looked through my window and saw a train standing perfectly still in front of my house.
It was wrapped in an apron of steam. Snowflakes fell lightly around it. The conductor stood at the open door of one of the cars. He took a large pocket watch from his vest, then looked up at my window. I put on my slippers and robe. I tiptoed downstairs and out the door. "All aboard," the conductor cried out. I ran up to him. "Well," he said, "are you coming?" "Where?" I asked. "Why, to the North Pole, of course," was his answer. "This is the Polar Express." I took his outstretched hand and he pulled me aboard. The train was filled with other children, all in their pajamas and nightgowns. We sang Christmas carols and ate candies with nougat centers as white snow. We drank hot cocoa as thick and rich as melted chocolate bars. Outside, the lights of towns and villages flickered in the distance as the Polar Express raced north.
Soon there were no more lights to be seen. We traveled through cold, dark forests where lean wolves roamed and white-tailed rabbits hid from our train as it thundered through the quiet wilderness.
We climbed mountains so high it seemed as if we would scrape the moon, but the Polar Express never slowed down. Faster and faster we ran along, rolling over peaks and through valleys like a car on a roller coaster.
The mountains turned into hills and the hills to snow-covered plains. We crossed a barren desert of ice. The great polar ice cap lights appeared in the distance. They looked like lights of a strange ocean liner sailing on a frozen sea. "There," said the conductor, "is the North Pole."
The North Pole was a huge city standing alone at the top of the world, filled with factories where every Christmas toy was made. "At first, we saw no elves. They are gathering at the center of the city," the conductor told us. "That is where Santa will give the first gift of Christmas." "Who receives the first gift?" we all asked. The conductor answered, "He will choose one of you."
"Look," shouted one of the children, "the elves." Outside, we saw hundreds of elves. As our train drew closer to the center of the North Pole, we slowed to a crawl. So crowded were the streets with Santa's helpers. When the Polar Express could go no further, we stopped and the conductor led us outside.
We pressed through the crowd to the edge of a large open circle. In front of us stood Santa's sleigh. The reindeer were excited. They pranced and paced, ringing the silver sleigh bells that hung from their harnesses. It was a magical sound, like nothing I've ever heard.
Across the circle, the elves moved apart and Santa Claus appeared. The elves cheered wildly. He marched over to us and pointed to me, said, "Let's have this fellow here." He jumped onto his sleigh. The conductor handed me up. I sat on Santa's knee and he asked, "Now, what would you like for Christmas?"
I knew that I could have any gift I could imagine, but the thing I wanted most for Christmas was not inside Santa's giant bag. What I wanted more than anything was one silver bell from Santa's sleigh. When I asked, Santa smiled. Then he gave me a hug and told an elf to cut a bell from a reindeer's harness. The elf tossed it up to Santa. He stood holding the bell high above him and called out the first gift of Christmas.
A clock struck midnight as the elves roared their approval. Santa handed the bell to me, and I put it in my bathrobe pocket. The conductor helped me down from the sleigh. Santa shouted out the reindeer's names and cracked his whip. His team charged forward and climbed into the air. Santa circled once above us, then disappeared in the cold, dark polar sky.
As soon as we were back inside the Polar Express, all the children asked to see the bell. I reached into my pocket, but the only thing I felt was a hole. I had lost the silver bell from Santa Claus's sleigh. "Let's hurry outside and look for it," one of the children said, but the train gave a sudden lurch and started moving. We were on our way home. It broke my heart to lose the bell. When the train reached my house, I sadly left the other children. I stood at the doorway and waved goodbye. The conductor said something from the moving train, but I couldn't hear him. "What?" I yelled out. He cupped his hand around his mouth. "Merry Christmas," he shouted. The Polar Express let out a loud blast from its whistle and sped away.
On Christmas morning, my little sister Sarah and I opened our presents. When it looked as if everything had been unwrapped, Sarah found one last small box behind the tree. It had my name on it. Inside was the silver bell. There was a note. "Found this on the seat of my sleigh. Fix that hole in your pocket. Signed, Mr. C." I shook the bell. It made the most beautiful sound my sister and I had ever heard. But my mother said, "Oh, that's too bad." "Yes," said my father, "it's broken." When I'd shaken the bell, my parents had not heard a sound.
At one time, most of my friends could hear the bell. But as years passed, it fell silent for all of them. Even Sarah found one Christmas that she can no longer hear its sweet sound. Though I've grown old, the bell still rings for me as it does for all who truly believe. Caden Ratke,
Ava Gall,
Quinn Gruber.
Preston Tare,
Caitlin Krushek,
Abby Posh,
Robin Hoeisel.
Oh, wasn't that wonderful? The fifth graders at Holy Trinity bringing us three great Christmas stories, Frosty the Snowman, Mistletoe, and the Polar Express. Wonderful, wonderful job, fifth graders. I enjoyed that so, so much, and I thank you so very, very much. And thank your teacher, Mrs. P, as well, for helping me coordinate that. I know she's very proud of you, too, and you all do such a great job reading. It was very easy to understand and follow along, and you picked three great stories, too. So thanks a lot again, the fifth graders at Holy Trinity. When we come back, we will have our final story. And appropriately enough, it will be the Christmas story, the story about the birth of baby Jesus. So that'll be it when we come back.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
it is time for our last story of Christmas Reading with Rick, as we will end tonight with the Christmas story. You all know this story, but it is a wonderful story to listen to and remember and just to think about. So here we go with the Christmas story. This is Mary, a girl of Galilee. She lived long years ago, but such a wonderful thing happened to her that we remember and love her still. One day, an angel appeared to Mary. "You are blessed among women," the angel said, "for you shall have a son, whom you shall name Jesus. He shall be called the Son of God, and his kingdom shall never end." "I am glad to serve the Lord," said Mary. "May it be as you have said." And then the angel left her. Mary married a good man from Nazareth. His name was Joseph, and he was a carpenter by trade. When Joseph had to go from Nazareth up to Bethlehem in Judea to pay his taxes in his father's town, Mary went with him. It was a long, weary journey for her. When they reached Bethlehem at last, they found many travelers there before them. The streets were full of cheerful, jostling kinsmen. The inns were crowded to the doors. Though Joseph asked shelter only for his wife, every innkeeper turned them away. At last, one innkeeper, seeing Mary's weariness and need, showed them to a stable full of warm, sweet hay. There, Mary brought forth her son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger, since there was no room for them in the inn. There were in that same country shepherds in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them in shining glory, and they were all afraid. But the angel said to them, "There is nothing to fear. I come to bring you news of great joy, which shall come to all people. For a child is born this day in Bethlehem, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, the sky was full of angels praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." When the angels disappeared into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried to the town and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Afterwards, the shepherds told everyone they met about the child. Now, when Jesus was still a baby, three wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" they asked, "for we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled in his wicked heart. He called the wise men to him and asked them just when the star had appeared. Then he sent them off to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, the wise men departed. Behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, went before them, till it stood over the place where the child lay. When they saw the star, the wise men rejoiced and were glad. And when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and laid before him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Being warned by God that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. The child was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was born. And the child grew and became strong in spirit and full of wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And that is The Christmas Story. Thank you all for listening each night that we were able to bring you these wonderful Christmas stories.
Shining is the night, all the deep sea.